with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO studio.
Hey, you.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you today.
Yes, we do.
Oh, the Rams beat the Bears. 49ers get smashed by the Seahawks. And Pats versus Broncos in the AFC Championship game. Sound familiar? But we'll begin today's show with Saturday's wild AFC divisional round matchup between the Bills and the Broncos and its aftermath. The Bills struggled to hold on to the ball, and the Broncos struggled to hold on to the lead. Buffalo charging back into the game to force overtime, a controversial pick, two key defensive penalties, and Will Lutz's field goal sent the Broncos onward to the AFC Championship game. But we're not done, as head coach Sean McDermott was fired Monday morning. So how much of this game is on Josh Allen, and where do the Bills go from here?
Three fumbles, two fumbles lost, two picks. It ain't good, my man.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
And a partridge in a pear tree. You did throw for three tutties. You threw for 283. So, like... the good doesn't outweigh the bad, man. Like, James Cook didn't have a good... He fumbled, too. Like, I don't know what the hell was going on.
He lost his, too, right?
He lost his. He did. So, it was a tough day if you're the Buffalo Bills. But, you know, you got to give them some credit. They did fight back. They did adjust. And they were resilient and took the game to overtime. Now, let's talk about that overtime call with the Brandon Cooks situation, which becomes an issue, right? We still don't know what a catch is. We don't know what down by contact is. We don't know, you know, what surviving the ground is. Like, these are all very nebulous terms. And, you know, maybe our live streams can talk about that. You know, we are live streaming right now on Facebook. We're on YouTube and we're on X. Like, maybe you guys can tell us, you know, what's a catch? What's surviving the ground? What's a football move? What are these things? What are these things? What are these things? What I saw was Brandon Cooks possessed the ball with two hands, brings it into his body, comes down with the defender on him, and then the defender comes up holding the ball. Down by contact, catch, first down, Buffalo. That's my interpretation of the rule.
That's right? What I saw.
Yeah, that's what I saw. So
now they're trying to say what happened is Brandon Cooks goes up, he catches the ball.
Mm-hmm.
On his way down, the defender takes the ball out, which completes the catch. The defender completed the catch. And the defender is then down. And that's why the defender has the ball. The defender completed the catch. That's the excuse, or that's what the head officiating crew is saying on why it was an interception. But, like you... in slow motion and watching it frame by frame, I see him catch the ball.
Yes.
I see him come down. I see his knee go down. So he survives the ground with the ball.
Yes.
Then when he lands, after he lands...
and is down.
The defender then takes the ball out of his hand.
Yes.
Rolls and gets up and runs down like he had an interception.
Yes. Now, in a situation where it is one of these tie balls, the tie ball goes to the receiver.
Goes to the receiver. So, just like you're saying, there's only one of two things that I can accept as a person that's watching this game. It's either Brandon Cooks caught the ball and it's Buffalo's ball, or if you want to say it's simultaneous possession,
mm-hmm.
I can also go with that. But both of those guys were down.
Yes.
It just so happens that it took a lot for Brandon Cooks to catch that ball and come down. So once he got down,
yeah,
his job was done. So yes. This guy wants to rip the ball away from me and run down the field. Go for it. I don't care. I got the ball. I fell down. I'm down. That's it.
Right. But that didn't end the game, though. Like, right. They still had an opportunity. Right. You still had an opportunity. Like,
exactly.
Joey Bosa, don't fucking rough the passer. Don't commit DPI twice.
Right.
You know, you have plenty of opportunities not to shit the bed. And you did.
Right.
You did it. You know, you did it, and you put them in position. Sean Payton's not stupid. You put him there. Kill shot. Will Lutz, get out there.
Yeah.
Win me the game.
Right. Right. And I'm not – and that's why I'm fighting that debate. I'm fighting that argument about the call. But to me, that one play didn't affect the outcome of this game. Josh Allen playing as terribly as he played affected the outcome of this game. And, Z, I don't know where they go from here, because we've gone from a situation where he had a star receiver. He had Stephon Diggs. He's always had a top 10 defense. They were 7 this year.
Yeah.
But despite all the injuries, they were number 7 this year. Okay. Now, Joe Brady's calling the plays. We're going to run the ball more. We're going to run the ball so much that James Cook was the leading rusher in the league this year. He had over 20 touchdowns last year. There's no Burrow. There's no Jackson. There's no Mahomes.
There's no excuses.
I'm sorry. And everybody wants to get up here and say, well, Josh isn't taking accountability. You're damn right he should. But that doesn't change the outcome of this game. That doesn't change what happened. This is supposed to be the best time of his career, and he's not getting it done.
Nope.
And like we talked about, we were talking in live time, despite all the mistakes, all the turnovers, it was still a one possession game. They were still in the game and they still couldn't close. You know, at the end of the half, there's only 26 seconds left. He's running downfield holding the ball like it's a loaf of bread. Ball's out. Fumble. Picked up. That actually winds up being the difference in the game, right? Those 3 points winds up being the difference in the game.
Where are you pitching the ball?
Where are you going? Slide. Get down. At halftime, McDermott said that there was a play call, and if he saw the look he wanted, he was supposed to throw it downfield. If he didn't have that look, he was supposed to throw it out of bounds. So where are you running? Where are you going? You don't have any timeouts. I don't get his actions. And listen, everybody wants to talk about how Josh Allen might be the best quarterback in the league, might be the best player in the league. But can we still keep saying that, Z, if this guy can't win in the playoffs? And He's John Elway. And I've been saying that. How long have I been saying that for?
Years.
I've been saying that for years. He's going to get 2 Super Bowls. Mark it down. He is going to get 2 Super Bowls at the end of his career. I don't know if they're going to be with Buffalo, but he will get 2 Super Bowls at the end of this year, at the end of his career, because finally, it's just all going to click for him. After all the bullshit and after all the mistakes and this, it's their fault, it's my fault, it's your fault, it's his fault. After all that, that's what it's going to come down to. Because honestly, McDermott got fired. Did McDermott deserve to get fired? I don't know.
He might have run his course.
I don't know. I mean, their defense was playing good. They were decimated with injuries. They still played pretty damn good. Like, it's hard to get upset at them, but I get where Buffalo's coming from, because they're like, we can't afford to be a Baltimore Ravens where we're going to have you here for 18 years and win one chip. We got Josh Allen now. We got to win now. And then the other thing is we're not going to be a Pittsburgh Steelers team where we're going to have you for 19 years and you go to one Super Bowl. No, because this was it. It doesn't get much better than this. You know, it doesn't matter. You've had teams go to your place and beat you. You've gone on the road and shit the bed. Like, there's no more excuses to be had here. And the other thing with McDermott is like, okay, maybe he's just a regular season coach. There's plenty of those guys out there. Maybe he's not a guy that can get over the hump, right? Maybe he's not an Andy Reid or a Mike Shanahan or how long did it take Andy Reid? Right. Well, let's be real. What did it take Andy Reid, right?
He had to get fired.
He had to get Patrick Mahomes. He had to get Travis Kelce. He had to have Tyreek Hill. He had to have in Philadelphia, they had Freddie Mitchell, man.
Right.
Like, you know, so, and he had Donovan McNabb. And Donovan McNabb's a good player. Right?
And when they had T.O., they lost.
Went to the Super Bowl. But they went to the Super Bowl and they lost.
Right. Well, he could be. Like, McDermott could very well be Andy Reid. He could be, you know, he could be Mike Tomlin. Like, we don't know. Because he's going to get another job. Sean McDermott has enough on his resume that he's going to get another job. Maybe not this go round, but he's going to get another job.
I just don't want to hear the excuses. I'm going all over the social medias today, and I just don't want to hear it. I don't always account. Well, I don't want to hear that, dude.
The league,
you lost this game, man.
The league has also changed rules for him. Like, think about, remember that.
Yes. Josh, we've even given you the ball in overtime, and you're still fucking losing.
It's like, dude, we didn't even change the rules for you.
I can't do much else here. But you know, the other thing is, you know, people want to complain about the refs. I mean, this is an all-time low. I can't remember a time in history where people trust NFL refs less, right?
Yeah.
There was one play where I saw the ref look like he was grabbing for his flag, and it's almost like he got something in his earpiece saying, don't throw the flag. That's what it looked like.
Right.
I'm just saying, what it looked like from the person watching the show, what it looked like.
Right. Is that when we're getting the automated, the rules that was supposed to be for just for measurement?
Maybe
it is. But as far as where they go, I mean, they are decimated by injury. You have James Cook.
But everybody is, right?
It's the playoffs. I understand that. But your number one receiver is Shakir, right? Then you have Knox. You have Kincaid, right? You lost Gabe Davis. Funny enough, and we're going to get to them in a second. We're going to get to the Patriots eventually. You know, they could use Stephon Diggs. They can use Stephon Diggs again. Maybe they call the Eagles by A.J. Brown. Like, maybe they're the team that goes and gets him. Like, I don't know.
They had the receiver. They had the receiver.
But he was too much of a headache, and they let him go.
They decided to let him go.
Yes.
That's on you.
And Brandon Bean got promoted to president.
Why? Because A.J. Brown is so much better than Shakir. Like, what is that going to do? We're going to throw the ball more now. That was the problem before. We were throwing the ball too much. We needed to run the ball more. That's what I'm trying to say. It's excuse after excuse when we just have to realize that this is who Josh Allen is, and there's nothing we could do to change that.
Right. But you have to acknowledge, right, and it's becoming more evident by the day that he's this generation's John Elway. And you have to be in the pocket first and then run. When was John Elway most successful? When he had Terrell Davis, when he had Moore, when he had Shannon Sharp, and he only ran when he absolutely needed to. And people immortalized the helicopter. It was only because he had to. Not because that's not like 90% of his offense. But, you know, we're still not done with that game, though. We're still not done. As Broncos quarterback Bo Nix suffered a fracture in his ankle during the final drive in overtime. So, meaning that Jared Stidham, the immortal Jared Stidham, who has thrown exactly zero passes this year. Zero passes this year. He's going to lead the Broncos against the, well, spoiler, Patriots in the AFC title game. And the immortal Sam Ellinger is going to be the backup. Now, naturally, pundits are hearkening back to when Brock Purdy was injured and Philip Rivers was almost a 49er. Now, here's the problem with that. Unlike then, Rivers has recently played for the Colts, which would have been great if he didn't just retire, meaning that the Colts own his rights. So they can't even sign Philip Rivers right now if they wanted to.
Right.
So should Sean Payton give a QB a call, or should he ride with who he has? Can't believe we're asking this.
I just thought it was so funny. It's like he did like a rollout. He, you know, this is the end of the game. He rolls out. It's a run. And he gets up. He's like, oh, man. My ankle hurts.
Damn.
Oh, fuck. That hurts. Yeah, I wonder what's going on there. Coach, I think I hurt my ankle. All right. No, don't worry about it.
Take a look.
Coach, my ankle's fractured. I'm out for the rest of the season. What the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? Well, according to Coach Sean Payton, Stidham's ready to go. He felt like he had like a 1-2 all year, you know? Yeah. He's ready, and you're gonna see. You're gonna see. Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's like, I think they play phenomenal defense.
Yes.
And I think if Sean is smart, which I do think Sean Payton is one of the best coaches in the league, just get us to the Super Bowl. Get us to the Super Bowl. We're gonna play defense. We're gonna run the ball. Or just get us to the Super Bowl. And in those 2 weeks leading up to Super Bowl, we'll develop a scheme that will help us win that game. But just get us to the Super Bowl, which is almost like Tom Brady Patriots-esque 2001-2002, right?
Yeah.
You know, take what the defense gives you. Take what they give you. And if they don't have, throw it away. Throw it in the ground. We'll live to fight another day. It's a four-quarter game. Don't worry. Don't even look at the scoreboard. Just don't turn the ball over and give what the defense gives you, and the Broncos will be okay.
My issue with this is they're going up against Patriot defense, which is really good, right? You're going up against the offensive coordinator who pretty
drafted
much
right?
drafted him and coached him up,
right?
And I believe he had him in Vegas, too. So, like, he knows Jared Stidham. He knows Jared Stidham like the back of his fucking hand.
Right, because Stidham was with the Patriots, right? Because he was going to replace Tom, if I remember.
Yeah.
And then when he got the job over, I believe, in Denver, he drafted him, right?
He might have taken him with him. And I know definitely he was there in Vegas.
And then when he went to Oakland, he took him with him.
Yeah. So he has a relationship. He knows Jared Stidham's tendencies. He knows how to exploit that. I mean, Mike Vrabel probably doesn't need the help, but but Josh McDaniels knows, like, this is what he's going to want to do. But
I think what it's going to be more like, Z, is like, this is what he's good at and this is what he's not good at.
Right.
So let's put him in these situations, and that I think that's the approach they're going to take.
I mean, the instinct is, okay, we're going to take the air out of the ball, right? We're just going to run it with R.J. Harvey because we don't have J.K. Dobbins either. We don't have our number one running back. We don't have our number one running back, and we don't have our number one quarterback. So this is fun. This is going to be a fun little experiment.
All right, so he was drafted by New England, then he went to the Raiders, and then he's been in Denver the last 3 years.
Yeah, so like he's definitely, like, Josh McDaniels knows what's up, but it's going to be very interesting to see what Denver has cooked up, because obviously they're going to want to just ride this out with their defense. They're going to try and snuff out Drake May, which is possible. Like, Drake May has not been playing great.
Oh, 100%.
So it is within it's within their own possibility that they can ride the defense all the way. So the other
for one game,
and then all bets
for
are
one
open.
Game. Right.
Yeah. So then you also have to take into account, like, yes, you can't sign guys off of rosters, but you have free agents. You also have some USL guys, right? The UFL guys that are in training camp right now. They're going to start afterwards. So they're in shape. Like, their arms are there. A guy like you sign a guy like a Matt Corral or a DTR. Or, I mean, we're not talking about, like, exhuming the corpse of Alex Smith. We're not going to we're not calling 47-year-old Drew Brees. Like, that's not happening. That's not. You're not calling Colin Kaepernick, who hasn't thrown a pass in 10 years. You're not calling Cam Newton. So get those ideas out of your fucking head right now.
Yeah,
like, it's not happening. These are all CBS Sports ideas. And I'll be the first to admit, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd for these dudes to roll in, throw a couple of passes in shorts, and declare themselves ready to go to be the starter in the AFC title game. So, I think you have to. It's absurd that people are even having the conversation. But
It's one game. He's got to win this one game. And like I said, I expect a lot of passes out of the backfield. You know, a lot of checkdowns. You know, see it before you throw it.
Yeah,
that's not the way you're supposed to play, but see it before you throw it, kind of idea. And don't turn the ball over.
Exactly. Like, that's going to be the key to victory. But Stidham's got an arm on him. Like, it's not about talent.
He's a good player. I thought he was good when he was in New England. I thought he was good when he was backing up Tom. I think he's a good player.
It's never been a question of whether or not he can throw the ball. Because he can throw the ball. He's got the arm. It's the other stuff. It's the reading of the defenses. It's the checkdowns. It's the audibles. It's everything that either makes you a backup, right? Or it makes you a star.
But like the Broncos, that's the thing, is like the Broncos play like shit.
Yeah.
Despite all those turnovers, it was still a one possession game. They should have blew the Bills out of the building. That game shouldn't have been close, and it was the whole game and overtime. So, that just goes to show you how good Denver really was. And after a week off, and even at halftime, he said, well, you know, I expected that in the first half, but the week off will really, I'll be able to show you what our team's made of in the second half. Well, Sean, I was looking, and you know what I saw, you know?
So watch and learn. Watch and learn. Ken Show Cocktails by RSRV Collective are premium, non-alcoholic drinks crafted to deliver bold, sophisticated flavors inspired by classic cocktails. Alcohol-free indulgence. Enjoy a 30% exclusive discount with our promo code DNZ at RSRVCollective.com. That's 30% off using our promo code DNZ only at RSRVCollective.com.
Talk about the Patriots now. So on Sunday, the Patriots clinched their spot in the AFC title game in a sloppy affair, knocking off the Texans 28-16. The running game didn't get out of the blocks. Drake May was sacked 5 times, fumbled 4 times, losing 2 of them. On the bright side, May threw for 3 tutties, and the defense showed up big, picking off C.J. Stroud 4 times. So what's your level of concern moving forward? Which is kind of what we're talking about. Like, you know, he's not a finished product.
No, he's not. And Sean Payton and Vance Joseph, they can exploit that. You're not going up against, no offense, Liam Cohen. You're not going up against a neophyte head coach. You're not going up against, you know, you're not going up against AFC East teams, right? You're not going up against Aaron Glenn. You're not going up against Mike McDaniel. You're going up against Sean Payton, who is a competent head coach, and you're going up against Vance Joseph, who is a very good defensive coordinator and who probably is going to be on the short list for some of these jobs, right? There's 7 still available. So, or 8 still available, actually. So, Vance Joseph is definitely going to end up as a head coach somewhere. But the level of concern for offense is high. Defense? Nah, I'm good. Like, I've seen enough for Mike Vrabel's defense. Like, they get after the quarterback. They picked off C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud looked like a mess. He looked like a fucking mess. Yes, Nico Collins wasn't available. And there's another team. Now, there's a guy who could use a guy like A.J. Brown. He could just a guy with a pulse. A guy who can go out there and catch the damn ball, maybe. Maybe. We'll see. But offensively, it's high, man. If you're not going to hold on to the ball, like, that's going to be a problem because the Broncos are coming after your ass. Like, and they don't play around. You know, they're in the habit of sacking quarterbacks 8-9 times a game. They're going to get after your line. They're going to wear your ass down.
Yeah,
and that running game is going to be, if you guys don't get out of the blocks, they're going to tee off.
I'm surprised Stevenson didn't put it on the ground.
Yeah, well.
Everybody else put it except for him.
Yeah, I mean, Stevenson, you know, 16 for 70, representative, not great. You know, Trevion Henderson only have 25 yards.
I think the Texans would have liked that kind of rush production.
You know, something, anything. Like, you know, well. You know, they would have loved if Joe Mixon actually, you know, was there this year. But instead,
Marks rushed 14 times for 17 yards.
Christ. Nick Chubb, you know,
just
we're talking.
Just fall forward. Can you fall forward?
4 for 14, 2 for 11 for C.J. Stroud. Like, Jesus Christ. An abysmal performance by the Texans offense. But, yeah, my concern, if I'm Patriots fan, my concern level is high for Drake May and that's a turnover-prone situation. You're starting to become, you're starting to show your youth. You're starting to show your inexperience, and you're showing it at the worst possible time.
Yeah, I don't think Patriots fans are worried about going to Denver with their team, especially going up against Jared Stidham and company.
Right.
I think what's going to happen in this game, as far as the Patriots are concerned, is it's really going to come down to coaching. It's going to come down to situational football. I know you're saying you're not concerned with the defense, but let's remember they're going to Denver, high altitude. It's going to be a different ball game there.
Reports were that the Bills were gassed on the sidelines.
Yeah, so. I think special teams is going to play a big part in this game. And, you know, with the Patriots, they're not going to take the road that Denver's taking. They're going to run their offense. They're going to throw. They're going to
run. They're gonna have two backs. They're gonna throw to. They're gonna run to both backs. So it's gonna be interesting. But let's talk about the Texans side.
Yeah,
I mean,
please.
So, I mean, are you giving Stroud an extension this offseason if you're the Texans? I mean, listen, I know he didn't have Nico Collins. He didn't have Tank Dell.
Yes.
He lost Schultz. He lost Schultz early. He lost, I believe, his right tackle. But we were texting in live time. He looked shook. Like, he looked like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, deer in the headlights. I've seen it. You know what? At least, like, Josh Allen, you know, he was emoting. Like, he was just, CJ Stroud was just, like, stunned. Like,
I have to give, I mean, in the moment, I was like, go to Mills
yes,
at halftime. But I guess even though the Texans lost, I give D'Amico Ryans credit, and that's why he's a head coach and I'm not, because if he would have went to Mills and Mills wins that game.
Oh, you Stroud lost CJ Stroud. You lost.
Stroud is done. You've lost him, the locker room, especially like you were coaching him up and telling everybody, oh, believe in him. We believe in our guy. I got here 42 touchdowns, 26 interceptions for the career. It just feels like he's going this way.
Yeah.
He's going down. Like, after starting out rookie year, having a great rookie year last year, sophomore slump, okay, got blown out. I believe he got blown out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This year, I expected him to get back to that rookie level he had, and it went further down. It's just like, you know, can we – Again, they're not the perfect lineup. They're not the perfect team. No. Defensively, they're crushing people. But even in the fourth quarter, they're punting the balls. It's like, guys, we're running out of time here. Like, we got to go for it. I don't know what you're going to do, but you got to go for it. I mean, he was throwing the ball behind people. One guy tore his ACL trying to reach back to get the ball.
But there were no answers. There were no answers coming out of the Texans. Absolutely not. And they didn't have a full complement to make that happen.
They couldn't run.
No.
They couldn't run. Like you said earlier, 17, I believe it was 14 rushes for 17 yards for Marks, 4 rushes for 14 for Chubb, right?
Yep.
2 for Stroud.
And 2 for 11 for Stroud.
They couldn't amass any kind of offensive movement. And as good as the defense was playing, they weren't putting the offense in a position where they could really do anything or get going.
And the Patriots knew they weren't a downfield threat. You don't have Tank Dell. You don't have, like,
throw it.
No, I dare you.
Throw it.
I dare you. Exactly. Christian Kirk.
Do it.
Go find Christian Kirk. You do that.
Do it.
Please.
Which is a smart play by them. So, but if you're the Texans, I don't know. I'd be hesitant to offer him an extension. Especially, you know, could you flip him to the Jets? Could you flip him to the Dolphins? Like, and you know, this was supposed to be kind of his, like, kind of weather, right? It was cold. You know, he played in Ohio State. Like, he should be able to come in. You know, I didn't see, like, a Matty Ice. Like, remember Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Ryan may have lost the Super Bowl, but Matty Ice was pretty, in crunch time, he came to play. He was delivering the ball. He was a top 10 quarterback. I didn't see that in his guy in year three, right? This is year three.
He's definitely regressed. He's absolutely regressed. And what's making things worse is that Bryce Young is starting to level out a little bit. Like, Bryce Young is digging out of that hole.
Well, when you look at, like, let's look at it. I mean, you look at Stroud, May, Young, and I'll even throw Caleb Williams in there. Caleb Williams is looking better than CJ Stroud right now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's not something you want to hear. I mean, they don't really have much going on for them.
Yeah.
You know, outside of Stroud, right? Mixon's hurt. I don't know if he'll ever play football again.
Doesn't. It's going to be
Collins.
Tough.
If Nico Collins plays in that game, we probably get the same outcome, right? Maybe it's a one possession game. Maybe it's a one score game, but I still think the Patriots win. You know?
I think they put up more of a fight.
Based on what we saw. I picked the Texans to win that game. And I'm not taking that out of the equation. I'm not taking that away. I'm just saying the guy that walked into that building did not look like a guy that was confident.
He looked defeated on the circumstances.
And that's the other thing. Every time he's running off the field, he's got his head down. Pick your head up, man. What are you doing? got four quarters to play.
Yeah.
We got a half to play. We're only down by a touchdown. Why is your head down? Why are you looking so souped over? And then just certain plays, it's like, oh, you forgot how to play football. Throwing the ball out of bounds, bouncing the ball in the turf. That's Zach Wilson shit here. Come on, man. What are you doing?
You wonder.
Is he hurt? I thought maybe because I saw he had hurt his finger. I mean, do someone go, yo, you want to put a glove on? You want to try wearing a glove? Like, somebody's go and say that to him? Like, you know.
Something, you know. And that's been a thing lately. Like, you've had Stafford get it. I think Aaron Rodgers got it. Like, guys are getting their fingers banged up on gloves on the follow, on the helmets on the follow
through. Yeah.
So that's possible. But you know who needs some fucking gloves? Drake May needs some fucking gloves. That dude couldn't hang on to shit. It was ridiculous. Yeah. Like, put something on. You know, something. Yeah. Like, I don't want to.
He's got to be careful. Yeah. He's got to be careful with his scrambling. You know, I think he got away a couple of times. I thought Danielle Hunter was going to take his head off on one play. Now you just got to get down. You know, I think he's one of the better scrambling quarterbacks left, I feel like.
In terms of who's left in the NFC, those guys aren't scrambling.
They're not scrambling.
And, I mean, Bo Nix isn't scrambling anywhere. So, like, you know.
I mean, you broke your ankle. What do you mean? What are you talking about? We just won the game. Yeah, I don't know. It hurts. What?
It's like, coach, I don't know. Something wrong here.
Quantum Squares offers scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ, and you can use that at quantumsquares.com.
Over to the NFC as the Seahawks put an outright whooping on the injury-riddled 49ers 41-6. The opening kickoff return for a touchdown set the tone, and the Seattle defense snuffed out an anemic Niner offense, making Brock Purdy look normal. Kenneth Walker III torched the 49ers D for three tutties. Was this result more about San Francisco or Seattle?
Well, when you have Niners fans and Niners players coming out and say, if we're healthy, we're no, you're not.
I just want to hear it. I just want to hear it.
You know, Kyle Shanahan is lucky he's not on the unemployment line with Sean McDermott, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Like, how many fucking years are you going to hear, or how many fucking years are you going to say, we're banged up, injuries?
Still an impressive season.
It was, absolutely.
I think everything he did, I don't like the man, but everything he did this year was very impressive. Very impressive what he did with a banged up team.
Completely, absolutely. And, you know, not just the banged up part. You have the drama with Ayuk, the drama with Debo, got him the fuck out of there. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. Like, it's, you know, he's dealing with a lot of shit. He's dealing with a lot of negativity, and he's dealing with a lot of complexity in terms of, you know, contracts and, you know, the behind the scenes in the clubhouse. And to deliver, you know, his performance, to deliver this season, it's admirable. It absolutely is admirable. But Seattle just whooped you. They whooped you last time they played you, and they whooped you this time.
In your building, right?
In your building.
We'll kick your ass anywhere.
Right. Here, there, every fucking where. They put belt to ass. It doesn't matter. It did not matter. And Christian McCaffrey with the stinger. Hey, we were talking about how healthy he was all year. That train's never late. Eventually, Christian McCaffrey gets hurt. It's the worst fucking time for the Niners for Christian McCaffrey to get hurt. So...
My shoulder hurts. What do you mean your shoulder hurts?
I think it's stinging.
I don't know. I can't really feel it. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Jesus Christ. You don't need your shoulder. Just get out there. No, coach, I need my... Shut up.
Gosh damn it.
But, I mean, Charbo ran through. Charbo's done for the year, but, you know...
What happened to him?
I think it was a knee. I think he's done. So, even more is going to be on Kenneth Walker, who just torched that Niner defense. We've seen it before. We're going to see it again. You can run on them. And this Seahawks team is humming right now. Sam Darnold, we weren't sure if he was going to play. Right? There were reports that he had no oblique issue.
He tore it all. Yeah. He tore it all shot.
They shot him up real good because it worked. He didn't have to do too much. 12-17 for 124.
How about Sam? If you remember, he was with the 49ers.
Yeah.
Then he went to Minnesota. Then he went to Seattle. How about that?
It is very interesting.
Back around to beat them and beat Robert Saleh. The cheerleader.
Now, to be fair, he didn't draft Robert. And Robert Saleh did not have Sam Darnold,
just to stick it to the Jet.
A little extra for the Jets. Absolutely.
Might be a guy goes to Buffalo.
We're going to order up the best possible candidates. Could be. If he doesn't get Miami, maybe. we'll see. He might be. He's still on the list. He's still a candidate. But no, this was totally about Seattle.
So you think it's about Seattle?
Completely. Kickoff, dude. Shaheed, got it? Gone. Like, touchdown. Kickoff return. Opening kickoff return. And then pick. Touchdown. We're getting buried early here. Now, they took their foot off the gas a little bit. They got back a little bit. Nope. We're just going to turn it back on, and we're just going to lap you. Like, this is it. Now, they're going to get a better game next week. But the result is going to be much closer.
A familiar opponent,
familiar opponent. Well, this was a familiar opponent, too. But, this is all about Seattle saying that you're not coming into our building, and we're just going to put a whooping on you, and we're going to do it because we can't. Now, you try to stop us. Because they are healthy. Their whole... Charbot comes out of this a little worse for wear, but if you get that kind of performance from Kenneth Walker, if you get that, this is a Super Bowl team. Like, this is it. Give them a Lombardi right now.
Yeah, so for me, I wasn't surprised that the Seattle Seahawks were ready to play. I knew not having George Kittle was going to be a huge problem for San Francisco. You know, the Christian McCaffrey thing, listen, he's a good player, but he's small. Like, I don't know if you're the 49ers, I don't know what you're thinking about next year. You're gonna run this back with Juwan Jennings as your number one receiver and Ricky Purcell as your number two. I mean, I don't think Kittle will be ready for the start of the season. And even if he is, I don't think he's gonna be at 100%. And Fred Warner's coming back from a pretty bad dislocated ankle.
Bosa is going to be back.
Assume that Robert Saleh leaves, I would think. And
Kubiak might be going too. He's a candidate for head coaches.
He's with Seattle, isn't he?
Oh, there are two Kubiaks.
Oh, yeah, the Kubiak.
Yeah, both Kubiaks.
So, I mean, you know, I'm not sure. I think Brock Purdy's good and think he played admirably, but I don't know what San Francisco's going to do, and I don't know how long they want to stick around with Kyle Shanahan, because it kind of goes back to the other thing, like we were talking about, you know, with McDermott. It just might be, even with Harbaugh and Tomlin, it just might be time to try something new or try something different, because this ain't working. We're not winning.
Right.
We're not winning. We're not getting anywhere, you know? This is another year of Christian McCaffrey. I mean, do you flip Christian McCaffrey? Do you, you know, get some value for him? Because he led, if I'm not mistaken, this year he led the league in touches. Like, he,
well,
I'm
gonna
pretty
get
sure,
ball.
And he only had 10 touchdowns, but he led the league in touches between carries and receptions. That's a lot to put on a player. Is that what you're gonna have him do next year? Like, who's helping him out?
Right. Right.
Because Brandon Ayuk's gone, and I said maybe they're a candidate to get AJ Brown, but I can't see him really fitting and working in their offense. It's not what they do regularly, at least.
No,
you know.
Seattle.
I mean, Seattle just throttled them. I mean, if I'm mistaken, JSN did he even get anything?
Two catches. If that, like, you didn't have, they didn't need him. They didn't
need
him. He
registered three catches. Well, I mean, he did have a touchdown.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp was their high man, 5 for 60. The Kenneth Walker went nuts on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at bigforkbrands.com.
As we expected, there will be an NFC West showdown on Championship Sunday as the Rams survive the upstart Chicago Bears 20-17 in overtime. Getting there wasn't easy by any stretch. While the Rams played a steady game, the big flashes came from the Bears. With the season on the line, Caleb Williams turned a 4th-and-4 into a Cole Kmet touchdown after a wild scramble and a desperation heave. But two critical plays will haunt the Bears, turning down an opportunity to put up 3 points on the board, going for it on 4th-and-goal from the 2, and the Williams pick in overtime allowed Matthew Stafford to lead the Rams down into the field goal range. So how should the Bears feel about their trajectory, and will the Rams' performance be good enough to get through Seattle?
If I may quote Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. That's how the Bears should feel today, that they let the Rams off the hook. They were in position to make this happen. They had an opportunity. They actually looked alive compared to the Rams, who are just kind of like steady Eddie, you know, and just kind of like, all right, we're going to matriculate this down the field. You know, we're not really making the passing game isn't really working for us today. All right, we're just going to run it. You know, Kyren Williams had a big day. Blake Corum had a couple of runs for like 20 yards. Like, not terrible, but they know how to run in cold weather. So, you know, Sean McVay adjusted his game plan for the weather and the opponent, and the Bears just stuck with what they do. Ben Johnson stuck with what he does. And it was working, like, towards the end of the game. And Caleb Williams going out there playing some backyard football. Like, oh, shit, here we go. I'm just scrambling 20 yards, you know, backwards and sideways, laterally. It's like, so, fuck it, somebody's down there somewhere. And Cole Kmet just, you know, a free release, corner of the end zone. If you don't catch that, my God, man. Like, it's right in your breadbasket. You got to catch that. And fortunately for him, he came up with it. But that fourth down from the 2, like, it irks me. It irks me to no end. We talked about it. I sent you a text in live time, all caps, take the points. Coaches are allergic to taking the points. I don't understand it. It's a free 3, right? It's a free 3 points right there. And you're in position that you can't be choosy about the points you take. If it's there, take it. And it was from the 2-yard line, right? That's a 12-yard field goal, right? You're telling me that Cairo Santos can't make a 12-yard field goal. Is that what you're saying to me? A professional kicker cannot kick the ball 12 yards through the uprights. That's what you're saying. Take the points. Now, yes, you're still down. At that point, you would be down by 4. Can you hold the Rams down? You have been, right? The Rams were not doing anything great yesterday. They were just very solid, very steady. And you could have held. You did hold. So I think that's one that they're going to kick themselves in the ass. Their aggressiveness, it's something that you need to think about moving forward. When is the time to lay up, and when is the time to drive it down for the green, if I could use a golf analogy? And then you're looking at overtime, clean pocket, absolutely clean pocket. You don't have a rusher in your face. Caleb Williams had a clear pocket all day, did not get sacked at all. Where are you throwing that ball? Where are you throwing that ball? Cameron Curl's like, thank you. Right there. I got you. So the Bears should feel like they had it and they let him off the hook. But you have to be very pleased with where they were just in comparison to a year ago with Matt Eberflus, right? That team was dead in the water. Caleb Williams is running for his life. That offensive line was dog shit. You bring in Joe Tooney. That's a huge addition. And you're getting better, right? You're in a division where you can stay at the top. You absolutely can be at the top. It's going to be competitive, but you can do it. And I think they should be very pleased with where they are, where they're going, but a couple of things, a couple of teachable moments, and I think they can, you know, I'm not sure if they can course correct because I don't know about Ben Johnson's ability as head coach, right? This is his first year. We have to see if he can course correct, right? But Caleb Williams is growing. It may not be, you know, it may not be laterally. Like, it might be a little bit of ups and downs, and it might be a little sideways sometimes. But, you know, it's getting there. As far as the Rams, based on what the Seahawks did to the Niners, that is not good enough. That will not be good enough. Like, just a steady eddy. I'm just not going to try and do anything. But that's the difference between Ben Johnson and Sean McVay. Sean McVay is going to adjust that game plan because he knows that it's not going to be, you know, 10 degrees with the wind chill in Chicago. He's going to be in the Pacific Northwest. Do you have to worry about rain? Sure, absolutely. It rains 9 months of the year in Seattle. You need to be concerned about that. Do you need to worry about precipitation? You need to worry about holding on to the ball? Absolutely, you need to. But Sean McVay has been doing this for a while now, and Sean McVay understands the adjustments that he needs to make as a head coach. So the Rams played a B-plus game. Like, it's not a B-plus is not going to beat Seattle. A B-plus was good enough to beat the Bears. B-plus will not do it against Seattle.
Yeah, so for me, let's start with the Bears. I guess they have to feel good about it. I mean, I think Caleb Williams definitely took a step in the right direction this year, but I just feel like it's almost like the Trevor Lawrence thing. I don't know what's going to happen when he drops back to pass, right? It's like, oh, man, he's looking really good, and then all of a sudden it's like, who are you throwing to on that play? Like, there's nobody there. There's nobody there, like on the curl play. Who are you throwing it to? Curl's the only guy. He's like, oh, thank you. Catch. I'll just fall down.
We have some breaking news, by the way. The Dolphins are hiring Packers' Jeff Hafley as the new head coach. Defensive coordinator. Packers' defensive coordinator. Is he bringing Micah Parsons with him?
That's what you fired McDaniel for?
Just check.
All right. Anyway, and then you get a play where he buys time, rolls out, backs up 20 yards, and then just throws it and it gets to the guy in the end zone, which is an incredible play. Incredible arm talent. Like, wow. Like, he's almost like a basketball player out there. Like, it's like a fadeaway shot, you know, a fadeaway throw. So I guess you want to see steps forward. I feel like he took a step forward this year. He's just still wildly inaccurate at times. I don't know if it's the grip on the ball. I don't know if it's follow through, but at some moments he's like, was that for me? Is he throwing to me? Like, you know, and then the ball sail out of bounds, goes high, goes low. But I mean, I definitely think he's definitely very talented. I think he has a good future with the Bears. The Bears definitely have their quarterback. I don't see him going anywhere. I also think he'll be tied to Ben Johnson. I think the two of them will be tied together, almost like Jordan Love is with Matt LaFleur. So I feel like that's that kind of relationship they're going to have there. Now, as far as the Rams are concerned, you know, going into Seattle, a familiar opponent, I think they can just throw the 49ers-Rams tape. You can just throw that away. Just don't even bother looking at that. There's nothing there that can help you at all. I think they just need to be themselves. You want to try to get the Jets Sam Darnold to show up.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to try to do.
Seeing ghosts.
You got to try to rattle Sam. Okay? And that should be what their game plan is. They know him. They know him very well. You know, they played him. This will be the third time they're playing him this year. They know him well. There's not going to be any Charbo in this game, so you're only going to have to deal. You're only going to have to deal with Kenneth Walker, and then JSN. They have good defensive backs, so they should be able to come up with an idea. I think they'll be in the game. I don't see this as being a blowout. I think this is going to be a game. I find it hard to believe anybody's going to be able to blow out Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, and the Rams at this point in the season. And they're going to be on the road again. It's all familiar territory for them. And so you're going to get Matthew Stafford against Sam Darnold. We'll talk about our picks later, but I mean, given that, I mean, I'd like who I was rolling with, regardless whose side you're on.
I think you're in a good spot either way. Now the question is, and this is what it's come down to in these games, has been special teams, right? They've been very evenly matched offensively and defensively. A couple special teams snafus is what really was the deciding points in a controversial 2-point conversion. So that's really what you're looking at in the regular season. It all boils down to offensive creativity at this point, because the weather is not going to be the great equalizer. Like, can they do something a little bit different? Now that you know you don't have Charbonnet, maybe are you trying to get JSN a little bit more active as a runner? Maybe some jet sweep, something like that. Maybe get a little creative. Now is the time of the year to start releasing those kinds of plays, right? This is the kind of year where you don't let things hang out. You let it all hang out. Because, you know, this is the time of year for when the rubber meets the road, and there aren't many games left.
I think you stick to what you're good at, do what you're good at, and the defense is going to do what they're good at. They're going to try to stop you in that flair fashion. I wouldn't rewrite anything, and I wouldn't feel like I'm so down and out. My message to Sam would be just keep us in the game, you know, just keep us in the game, because the Rams are going to play a close game. Like, regardless of what happens, Sean McVay gets it. Like, I don't need to blow you out. I need to stay in this game, right? I need to be within striking distance in the fourth quarter, less than 4 minutes to go. Give me the ball with less than 4 minutes to go, and I know with my offense that I can go downfield and either kick a field goal or score a touchdown. That's how McVay feels. Can Seattle say the same thing?
Now, I know it's muscle memory for the Rams, but they also have those creative elements in their DNA already. When you saw Puka Nacua, he's running out on jet sweeps coming out of the back. So you have the opportunity to be a little bit more creative, and you're going to need to be, because it's a familiar opponent, right? You have the division opponent. This is going to be the third time you've seen them. Like, do you have – because they have your tape. Right, they have your tape. They have exactly what your tendencies
are.
They know
the calls.
Yeah, they know it at this point. What can you do that's different? What can you do to make sure that you're kind of avoiding the trap? Right, because that's what this is at this point. It's just like they're so familiar with each other, you kind of have to do something a little bit different. Just because they're not expecting it. Just because you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to pick it up. If it's just something that you install this week and something that you are just throwing out there on a lark because you're running out of time. You're running out of time to put this on tape. But we're in store for a very good championship Sunday in both games. Like, both of them have intrigue for their own unique reasons, right? We already, you know, documented all of the drama over on the AFC, right? You have all of these moving parts. You have, you know, the youth of Drake May. But then over here, you know, in the NFC, you have the old gunslinger who's back for one more round. And how much longer does Matthew Stafford have, right? You have Sam Darnold. Is he finally the guy that people thought he was going to be when they drafted him, right? Well, who the Jets thought he was going to be when they drafted him out of USC? Is he fulfilling that promise?
Leonard Williams playing phenomenal on the Seattle team too. Another Jet,
former Giant as well. Julian Love is there, former Giant. There's a lot of vocal representation in Seattle. So if you're there for a rooting interest, like, sure, that's fine. If that's the angle for you, go for it. But there's plenty of intrigue. We're going to have some good games, but we're not going to tell you who we're picking yet. That's for the option later.
Molly B's offers unforgettable artisan crafted cookies.
Molly B's Gourmet Cookies brings creative, unique cookies straight to your pantry. No cookie shop required. With bold, unforgettable flavors, they're the ultimate treat for any occasion. Enjoy an exclusive discount when you use my promo code DANDZ, and you could be using that at mollybz.com.
Time to put some grades in. Welcome to the classroom.
All right, boys and girls, take out a piece of paper and a pen. Have a seat. It's time to step into the classroom. We have statements and we assign letter grades to them. Number one, the Dodgers signing Kyle Tucker. What's your grade?
A plus. We need a right fielder. Sounds good. Sign him. Doesn't matter. Whatever money he wants, give it to him. Doesn't matter. I just think it's a failure for the Mets. I think it's a failure for the Yankees. I think it's a failure for the Toronto Blue Jays. How you all just didn't give this guy what he was looking for. And I get it, right? Like, if you're not going to give me what I want because he wanted the years and the money, I'll just go sign a short-term deal with the Dodgers because they're just going to give me what I want. He's making more money per year than Aaron Judge, I believe.
Yeah.
But that's what the market's calling for right now. This is what it is. Is he worth it? That doesn't really – I don't know if that matters in this landscape, whether he's worth it. Because I think you could say that isn't Bryce Harper worth more than what his contract is? Isn't Fernando Tatis Jr. worth more than his contract? Like, everyone now is...
Isn't Juan Soto worth less?
No, Juan Soto's not worth less. I think he had his best year hitting-wise. But think of it this way. Like, it seems like teams are not willing to sign up for the years, right? They don't want the sevens, eights, nines, and 10-year contracts. And it seems like the players are like, all right, then I want more average money per year. Because Bichette is, we're going to get to him in a minute, he's the highest paid infielder right now. $44 million a year. That's wild. That's some wild shit, man.
Yeah.
So I give the Dodgers an A+. And like I posted on socials, to quote the great Larry Bird, which one of y'all coming in second? Because that's what it's going to be this season.
Career batting average, .273, 147 home runs, 490 ribbies. And you figure that, you know, the ribbies are probably going to go down. A lot of solo opportunities. That lineup is stacked, right? Where are you getting these ribbies from? Say Oscar Hernandez is going to hit some bombs.
Man.
Right. Freddie Freeman's hitting bombs. Like Mookie Betts hits bombs. Like, where are you getting your ribbies
from? Freddie might slow down.
Max
Freddie
Muncy
might slow down.
Where are you getting these ribbies
Max
from?
Max Muncy might slow down too.
Yeah. So for Tucker, like, he got his money. He's $57.1 million AAV, a $64 million signing bonus. You know, like 4 years, .240. It's an A+ for
so
him.
So let's just talk about this. Their projected lineup is Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Smith, Tucker, Hernandez, Muncy, Páez, Tommy Edman. Good.
And luck. What did I tell you?
Good luck.
And what did I tell you? Tommy Edman's going to end up on the bench. Who are they signing?
Rendola.
The MVP. Exactly. So it's an A+ for him. He got his money. He got what he wanted. And you know, he has the terms of his contract and everything that he's looking for. This is an F for Major League Baseball. This harkens.
Wait a minute.
This hastens the lockout. This hastens the fucking lockout.
What do you want them to do? What do you want them to do? Every team had an opportunity to sign him.
Not every team. Bullshit. Not every team. Not every team had a legitimate opportunity to sign this guy.
Why not? Right. Why can't the Angels sign him?
Well, the Angels are a fucking mess, number one. The wrong example. Right?
Why can't Houston sign him?
Houston had him.
Right.
Houston had him.
Cubs decided to go a different way.
Blue Jays had a 10-year offer on the table, and he said
no. What was the problem with it? What was the problem? There wasn't just that.
they weren't giving him what? It wasn't giving him the average per year, right?
Right. So he wants short-term security. You want these giant inflated numbers. And that is what's going to cause the lockout.
But don't you understand that sometimes you've got to sign a player just because the opposition don't sign the player? Like, sometimes that has to be – that's sometimes something you have to do.
Not always. You don't always have to make this move.
It seems like more teams are unwilling to do that. And that's the out. That's the out. If you don't give me my 10 years, if you don't give me my 7 years, you don't give me my 8 years, I'm going to go play for the Dodgers.
Go ahead.
So, but why does Major League Baseball have to get involved in that? It's your decision not to pay him.
You're going to kill half the league because you have either cheap-ass owners or owners who can't afford to compete at this level.
That's their decision.
Sometimes it's not their decision. Sometimes they're actually businesses that require budgets.
Bellinger might go and play for the Dodgers too. Why not? If I'm Cody Bellinger, I'll go play for a ham sandwich.
And he's within his right. He can go play center field. Andy Pajas can go bench.
Just give me 2 years, $50 million. Yeah. I'll go play $25 million a year.
Yeah. And is he going to play? Screw no, because you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a lockout. You're going to get your money regardless.
He's going to play. Wonderful. He's going to get that year. He's going to get next year.
He's going to
win a World Series.
Hope you saved your money.
His dad's got money. He got money.
Sweet utility infielder money.
I don't know what you want Major League Baseball to do. They're not going to put in a salary cap. They might put in a floor. I don't know how you change the rules on deferred. Because, Z, you can't change it now because they've already done it.
Right.
So if you change the rules now, they're already benefiting from it. So no other team can catch up to what they've done. So for the next 10 years or 8 years, they're going to benefit from something that no other team can do.
Yeah, and that you don't see that's a problem. That there's 29 organizations that can't do what they did.
They can do it. They can do it. Listen, back in 98, 99, and 97 and 96, the Yankees were spending more money than everybody. And there legit were teams that could not do it. They did not have the money. Everybody got money now. I don't want to hear that nobody got money. They all got money. Yeah, maybe the Royals don't. Maybe the Marlins don't. But they go a different route, right?
I'm glad you brought the Marlins. The Marlins fucking suck. Are you kidding me?
Maybe the Vegas A's, right?
With the immortal Jeff McNeil.
But Z, this is the story. The story is going to be that for the next 10 years, the Dodgers are going to win 6 championships, right? But in that 10th year, or that 9th year, the Florida Marlins, on a bullshit salary, are going to beat them. And that will end the Dodger dynasty. Just like the Yankees thing came to a crashing halt in 2003. That's exactly what's going to happen. And then what? The Yankees came back. They won in 2009. And now they're nowhere. Nobody's competing with the Dodgers right now. But I don't know what you want them to do.
Salary floor, and you need to work on deferrals.
The players are never going to. They will sit out 2 years. They're not – a salary floor I think they'll get on board with. They're not going to get on board with salary cap. There's no way. Even if they did get on board with a salary cap, what's that number going to be? Because a team like the Dodgers, who's got players signed for the next 10, 7, 8 years, what is that cap number
going to
be?
And it's not going to apply to the Dodgers, clearly, because they have the deferrals. So Shohei Ohtani's making $2 million. You don't see how this is a problem?
You don't see it.
No, it's absolutely a problem.
Defer it. Somebody else just signed a deferred contract from a different team. Somebody else just signed a deferred contract on another team. Was it not Bichette?
No, he's got a bunch of rolling opt-outs. It's a one-year deal. It's a one-year deal.
No, but there was a player that just signed, and most of his money is deferred. I forget who he was. But there was a player that just signed, and the majority of the money was deferred. But not deferred 10 years down the line. No, I think it was
it's
4 or 5.
It's fucking absurd. It's absolutely fucking absurd. And yeah, eventually the spending will catch up to them, and it'll be probably a different owner who's going to have to deal with this, because the owner's going to cash out. So you have this.
File for bankruptcy.
There we go. And the Marlins, this Marlins idea, they're never going to be. You're in a situation where you're never going to be competitive. The young guys aren't good enough.
They were competitive last year. They beat my team. I think they came. My team came in like last. I think
And how competitive was that? Not very. Not very.
Hey, they beat your team. They knocked your team out of the playoffs.
Yes.
So they're trying.
Yeah.
That's perfect. They're playing spoiler.
Spoiler. At my ass, they're playing spoiler. Yeah.
That's perfect.
But yeah, 62-100. That's where the Marlins are forever, perennially. The White Sox. The fucking, well, perfect example, the Pirates. Paul Skeens ain't staying there. He's not staying there.
He's going to be a Dodger.
He's going to be a Dodger because the Yankees aren't going to pay for it.
The Marlins were 79-83. Fucking right, doggy. And they not, and they played their World Series in the last game of the season against your team.
My choking dog all, Mets, thank you.
They partied like it was 1999 that day.
Yeah.
And my team came in fifth. My team was fifth in that division. Or fourth. Fourth in that division.
Your team was riddled by injury. There is a difference. You were playing the Gwinnett Braves. Come on now. It was a AAA team in Hassan Kim.
Now, if you want to talk about the Rockies, right? The Rockies, what are you going to say is the reason for the Rockies? They made poor decisions.
They can't pitch. They still haven't been able to figure out pitching since they fucking opened Coors Field.
They made very poor decisions, though. Like, why would you go get Chris Bryant, who's always hurt? He doesn't even play. You let go of Arenado for a ham sandwich. Like, you're not leveraging. You're not taking advantage of the system. Same thing with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, you have Paul Skeens now. Cash in. Now is your time to cash in. Trade him. Get
to
prospects.
Who?
One pitcher.
For what?
You're telling me that the Yankees and the and the Dodgers and the Red Sox wouldn't pony up prospects for Skeens?
Have you seen Brian Cashman? Mr.
No.
Prospect Hugger? Spencer
right.
Jones? No. Hang up the phone. Jason Dominguez?
That's
no.
That's his choice. I just don't know how the league can get involved. And this team's operating like this. Your team's operating like this. You're clearly doing what you think is best. They think they're doing what is best.
The same way the NHL reset itself after the lockout in 04. You still can do that. Like, there is, you are in hell right now. It's a non-competitive product. You're getting into NBA territory in terms of non-competitive nature.
That's not true. It is such a competitive product. The World Series went to Game 7.
Two teams are actually
–
there's an arms
five.
Race. There's an arms race between two teams.
But you're never – in this format, you're never going to get a situation where the teams that are 16th and 20th in payroll are going to be able to compete. That's not how baseball works. That's how baseball's net – that's never how it's ever worked. That's not how it is. What does Billy Beane say? It's an unfair game, gentlemen. It's the truth.
Right, and you're talking about this miracle situation where the Marlins, who are not paying people, and Peter Bendix is there not paying people, somehow going to bubble up and take on the almighty Dodgers in 10 years?
You want all 32 teams to be competitive every single season?
I would love that. You want to know why I would love that?
Happen.
I would
it's
love
not,
that. Then
it's not going to happen, ever.
Well, let's,
you're
look,
have,
let's look at
you're
it.
You're going to have rich teams. You're going to have poor teams. You have 50 feet of crap, and you're going to have everybody else. That's the truth. That you're never going to change. You're never going to change that, ever.
You
ever
have,
in baseball.
Routinely, right? You have the model for parity where it works. You have the NFL, and you have the NHL. There are not the, even the Vegas Golden Knights, they were a monster team, but you still had 6, 8, 10 teams that you could variably say, hey, realistically, they can get hot, they can win it. Major League Baseball, I can count on one hand how many teams I can legitimately say have a shot. And I don't like
baseball.
That. I don't like that.
It's always been that way. When has there ever been a time when we do our show, we know that there's 20 teams that don't have a chance. Not a fucking chance. That's just the way it is. It can't be like the NFL. The NFL has a better draft system. The NFL only plays 16 games. The NFL cycles through players differently. And the NHL is just a different model. It's built differently. It's on points. You have goalies that can change the outcome of the game. Not one player can affect the outcome of a baseball game. You want to change things? Start bunting. Start hitting the ball the other way. Do it differently than they're doing it. They're obviously going for power. They're going to hit 100 home. They're going to hit 100 home runs. That's what their model. Because their pitching ain't that great. They're pitching. So build a team that's built on pitching to outpitch them and be better than them. The Royals had a shit team for how many years? And they said, you know what we're going to do?
we're going to build a team that's built with a bullpen. We need our starters to give us 3 or 4 innings, and then we'll back half the shit out of this, and that's how we're going to beat teams. That model was so well that other teams like the stupid Yankees tried to build a model after that, and that went to the shitter.
And because what did it get out, the Royals?
You got to figure out what
Where
works
are
for
the
you.
Royals now?
They got a World Series.
One.
How many do they have to win?
It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable.
How many World Series does a team have to win for it to be considered admirable or competitive? They just won. They won 10 years ago, right? 2016?
We love to like talk about Billy Dean, right? Let me talk about the Oakland A's.
Sure.
They didn't win shit. They did not win shit. You know it and I know it.
But his model was used by the Boston Red Sox. And I think another team used it.
His model with money, he did not win shit.
Right.
The Oakland A's didn't win Ugats.
Would you say that if every 10 years in Major League Baseball, if your team reached the World Series, that's considered success?
I would say you have to qualify that. Because now you also have the expanded playoffs. If you just
reach the World Series. If every 10 years my team either gets to the World Series or in a championship game, is that success?
I would say that is successful. And that's not happening in baseball.
That's doable. It's not happening, but it's doable. It's doable. It's doable.
Not in this current model.
The Marlins will be better this year.
Are they
going to
sniff the World Series?
They'll be better this year.
But are they sniffing the World Series?
They'll be over 500.
Uh-huh.
They'll be better this
okay.
year.
Okay. Are the Rays?
No.
The
not
White
this year.
Sox.
They're 4 years away from being 4 years away.
Enjoy the lockout. Maybe they'll figure something out.
This is the route they've decided. This is what they've chosen. You've got to figure out how to get free agents here. Look at Milwaukee Brewers.
They
were
trying to get free agents.
What?
They don't try to get free agents.
They don't, but look, they got all the way to the championship game. That's what it's about. You want to get to the championship game. You want to be in competitive. You want to be in line to be in the World Series.
And what's happening?
And I can honestly say that in 10 years, every team sniffs it. In football, you can't even say that because the Browns don't.
The Browns?
The Jets don't.
No. Well, the Jets got to multiple AFC title games, right? The Browns
was more than 15 years
the
ago.
The Browns are a fucking embarrassment.
Yeah.
Because so why? Because they don't know what they're doing. They keep running people through who keep changing.
Look at the Diamondbacks. Look at the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers to get to the World Series. Isn't that what an accomplishment that was? Come on. That you don't think that was their shot. That was their chance. Now they have to retool. They have to figure out how we're going to do this. And get back there again.
And
that
you
was
don't
our
think
shot.
That's a problem?
The idea that a team is going to be year after year after year after year be in the mix in baseball is not possible. There's too many games. Cut the games to 80 games. Play 80 games and then everybody will be competitive. Every year there'll be a different person making the playoffs. Every year the playoff picture will look different. But as long as you have 162 games, the cream rises to the top. You have the top players. Over the course of 162 games, we're just going to be better than you. That's just facts.
And therein
lies
the problem.
Think about it this
way.
In a 10-game span, in a 20-game span, teams can be good.
You're rigging the scales to where it only benefits certain teams. That's my argument.
Not rigging it. It's just that's baseball. Look at it this way. When back in, was it 98 or 99, through the halfway point, what would happen? Good teams that were not going to make the playoffs would start selling their players to the Yankees or selling their players to the Red Sox. Was that fair? How much of a pain point was that for you to see your best player go ride the bench for the Yankees or go hit DH for the Yankees just because you had to unload him because you weren't going to be able to re-sign him next year? That sucked. But that was what it was back then. And this is just a different version of that. I mean, they had had Cecil Fielder and Jose Canseco and all these big name guys that were just coming up. They're like, how did they have all these players? Why? Because the teams had those expiring contracts. Like, we'll just trade them because we can't pay them. We're not going to be able to bring him back. Just give them to them because they don't care. They'll pay him for the year or two and then they'll get rid of him. It doesn't affect their bottom line. It affects my bottom line. Look at the Twins. The Twins will never be competent. They're never going to make anything. You can change the rules all you want. The Twins will never be in the World Series. You know that.
I know that,
right?
Because they can't keep their players. And why can't they keep their players? Because of this bullshit system that Major League Baseball has in place. That is why it's an F, and that is why we are going to see a lockout sooner rather than later.
Even if you gave them the same salary cap as everybody else, a guy like Aaron Judge is not going to go to Minnesota and play baseball. A guy like Shohei Ohtani is not going to go play for the Miami Marlins. They're never going to get those players. All you're going to do is limit how much Shohei could make. All you're going to do is limit how much Aaron Judge can make. That's all you could ever do. If they create this Tennessee team or this Vegas team, it's the same way. The top players aren't going to go there. They're just not. It's not going to change anything. All it's going to do is limit how much the best players can make.
And maybe they make too much already. Let's think about that.
They do.
They do.
They 100% do. 100%. But I'm not going to change the rules just because the Dodgers have found a way to finagle the system to benefit them. If you don't like what the Dodgers are doing, do what the Dodgers do or find a better way to get by the Dodgers. How do I beat the Dodgers? If I don't have enough money, how do I beat the Dodgers?
You don't.
How would you beat how are the Mets going to beat the Dodgers?
They won't. They won't. And they have the billionaire owner. They're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Let's talk about it since you mentioned it.
I'll tell you right now, if you had Kyle Tucker, you'd have a chance.
No, we wouldn't. Kyle Tucker doesn't pitch. So, the Mets signing, Bo Bichette, grade that.
I give it an A because they took him away from the Phillies. The Phillies were upset. They're like, fuck, we wanted that guy. Now we got to take back Real Muto. We don't want to do that.
And they lost Ranger Suarez.
I think it's great.
Was it him? Was he the one who had a lot of deferred money? Was it Ranger Suarez with the Red Sox?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I know somebody did do it, and it wasn't a Dodger. But I think it's great. Welcome to the team. Hope you play a lot. Like, you know, and he could be a trade. He could be trade bait. Like, I think that's another asset to him. But I love it. You get a player that your team in your division wanted. Home run. He's a good player. I wish he was on my team. He's a solid player. I like it.
3 years, 126. Realistically, it's an opt-out. It's a one-year contract. He ain't staying. Sorry to break it to you, Met fans. He's not staying. Because he's going to have one good year. He's going to go back out on the market. And he's going to get picked. Well, he's going to have one good year. There's going to be a lockout. And then they're going to go back on the market. It's going to be Pete Alonso all over again. Yeah. So, and for that reason, it's a C for the Mets. For Bo Bichette, it's an A. Like, he got his money, right? He got the short term. He got the opt-out. He got what he wanted.
Love it.
The Mets, they now have a third shortstop who's playing out of position. They went from a glut of second basemen to a glut of shortstops. And none of them can pitch, and none of them can play the outfield. So
I think they should trade Lindor. Trade that guy.
There were rumors that they were thinking about flipping him to San Diego for Mason Miller. So
good. Damn. You don't need him.
At this point, I mean, you have 35-year-old Marcus Semien, you have Bo Bichette for a year. Like, this team's going nowhere fast.
Where is Bo Bichette going to play? Base. Oh, dear.
Projected
Lord.
To be third base. Now, you also.
Where's Beatty playing first?
First. Projected to be first, you know. Now, Vientos, he's still here. Like, I don't know. Like, Polanco, he's still here. They just signed him.
Why are you still here?
It's like, there was a clip. Somebody put a clip of. Beatty as a Binghamton Rumble Pony, I believe, or a Syracuse Met in left field. And he threw out a runner at home plate. So the answer is Brett Beatty in left field? Like, no.
Sounds like an Oakland A already.
Jesus fucking Christ. It is absolutely abysmal how much they fumbled this. They're going to duct tape and a dream this together. And they're going to get lapped by the Braves. The Braves they brought Suarez in. They're bringing guys. Yes, Ha Sung Kim got hurt, but, you know, they still have Acuna. You keep Acuna healthy, that team is good. The Phillies are still good. Yeah, you had to take back Real Muto. Oh, no.
Regardless of what not to go back to what we were talking about before, but regardless of the moves the Dodgers have made, if the Braves are healthy, they can compete with the Dodgers in the 7-game series. I'm not saying they're going to win it, they can compete. It'll be 6-2. It'll be six games. I mean, four games to two. Well, that's all right. Yeah. You're going to compete. Maybe they mess up.
Would you say the National League Championship Series between the Mets and the Dodgers was competitive?
No,
exactly. That is the job the Dodgers get against anybody not named the Blue Jays this year.
Right. That's true.
That's true. Because it's an arms race. That's what's going on. There's two teams. Yeah. They're the Soviet Union, and then you got the U.S., who are actually the Canadians. It's very interesting. A little geopolitics here on the fade route. But that's the thing. You have two arms race teams. The Mets aren't doing – clearly, the Mets are doing this for what? They have no pitching. So, Bo Bichette, adios, man. Like, I don't know. You'll end up God knows where.
Oh, shit.
So, it stinks to me like Verlander and Scherzer all over again. When they went and they paid him the boatload of dough, and then, oh, fuck, this didn't work, and then you traded him. Yes, you got Acuna. Yes, you got Clifford. Yes, you got prospects. But then what happens? You're on this hamster wheel again that the Mets have been on since, like, 1986. So, you want to tell me about, oh, we're in the mix. It's good. No. And yes, it's early. I understand that. I absolutely understand that.
Oh, no, it's over. It's over. What are you talking about? It's fucking over. Just give them the championship trophy now.
Right.
It's over. It doesn't matter. And the worst part about this is this isn't their first year doing it. This is year four or five of it.
Right.
So they already know, the Dodgers already know, we really don't have to play until like September, August.
Ridiculous.
We just have to make the playoffs. And now all the teams get in the playoffs. So all we have to do is get into the playoffs. And then we'll just route every team we play. And then that's it. That's the worst part about it. That I will agree with you on. The worst part about it is because of expanded playoff, they really don't have to play until August or September, that they don't have to trot their full team, whole team out there. They could be riddled with injuries all year, which they will be, which they were last year. And then once, I'd say the end of July, middle of August rolls around, all right, guys, it's time to suit up and play.
No, they'll just get Freddy Peralta. They're already rumored to get Freddy Peralta. They're just going to go get him.
They will.
They're just going to go get him. It's an absolute joke. It's a fucking joke. Baseball has become a fucking joke. Statement number three, the Falcons hiring Kevin Stefanski. Grade that.
I think it's an A. I like it. I think it's great for them. I mean, I think he's a really good offensive coach. He's getting a team that has a bunch of weapons. They just have to figure out the quarterback situation. But he's familiar with having to deal with a weird quarterback situation. they're going to be able to run the ball. I think he's a solid coach. And I'd say he becomes coach of the year there because he was very good in Cleveland. And Cleveland was stupid for letting him go. He's a very good coach. I think they do really well.
Three-time coach of the year, that sounds about right. I think that'll work. It's definitely an A. This guy just fell into your lap. Like he fell into your lap because Cleveland, you mentioned the Browns, right? The Browns don't know what the fuck they're doing. Let the guy who's competent leave. You let the guy who's doing his job leave.
I think the Falcons would have preferred to have Harbaugh.
Yes, I think so too.
But they will settle for Stefanski. They're not interested in Tomlin.
You're looking at a guy. Now, there's a guy who's actually taken a young quarterback and molded him, right, in Baker Mayfield and got them to a quarter of going to the AFC title game, of beating the Chiefs.
But he's also responsible for Baker flailing.
Is he, though?
I think so.
Because what you had there, right? What you had there was the institutional drama when you brought in Odell Beckham, and then all of a sudden, I'm not getting enough targets, and this, that, and the third, and they just opted to let Baker go on his way. And then what happened was, look at it now. You'd rather have Baker, wouldn't you? Because now you got Shador, you have Deshaun Watson. I still have Baker. I prefer Baker. Dylan Gabriel? No. You fumbled that. You foobarred it. You had it, and you let it go. And that's all on front office.
That's right, because they let Baker go because they were getting Watson. That was the whole thing, right?
They let Baker go in the middle of the season.
They got Deshaun Watson going
into next year. Turns out, Watson, a little bit of a deviant, a little bit of a problem. So that becomes an issue. But Stefanski knows what the hell he's doing. He's proven himself, like Harbaugh, like Tomlin, like McCarthy, even to an extent Mike McDaniel. These guys know what the hell they're doing. They can do some things. And you give him some weapons. You have Bijan. You have a good defense. You're keeping Ulbrich. And I don't know. Do you keep Kyle Pitts? I would let him go. You keep Drake London. You let Kyle Pitts walk.
Yes.
And you figure it out. Is it Kirk Cousins or is it Michael Penix? Ideally, you want to keep Michael Penix because he's younger, but he also has two fucked up knees. So I don't know. I don't know what to say. But you reload on the offensive side of the ball, and all of a sudden, that division's winnable. Remember, you finished in a three-way tie for first place. It just so happens that on tiebreakers, you finished in third. So, good job, Raheem. But you have a guy, a competent dude, he knows what he's doing, and I expect big things from the Falcons next year. A move. Those are our grades. What are yours? Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide into DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast. Drop us the line on X @faderoutednz and let us know what your grades are. But for now, class dismissed. Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account @FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll @FadeRoutePodcast. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy this week, Dean?
I don't.
That'll be the New York Rangers. I think they let in another goal.
I think they did.
They're playing the Ducks tonight. It's at 10 p.m. And
I saw the letter Drury sent out.
Oh, I'm getting to that. Oh, I'm getting to that. Don't worry. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, Dean?
All right, so first up, I have the quarterback of the Houston Texans, number 7, C.J. Stroud.
Wee.
My goodness. 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions, 212 yards, 20 for 47. I think he might be the first quarterback to throw 4 interceptions in a divisional round game. Not sure which team you were playing for this past weekend, but that was brutal. That was brutal. He looked rattled. He looked lost. He looked awful. CJ Stroud, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number 2, I've got quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, number 17, Josh Allen. Yeah. The Bills needed you to put on your cape yesterday, and you put a bag over your head. 2 picks, 3 fumbles with 2 lost. People can't keep going to bat for you, Josh. You had a star wide receiver. They got rid of him. Cooks led the league in rushing this year. Defense was solid. What else do you need? Josh Allen, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number 3, the Los Angeles Rams defense, with 26 seconds left in the game, up 17-10, 4th and 4, you give Caleb all day on the front side, and on the back side, you watch the tight end score a touchdown to send the game into overtime. Good Lord. The dude runs 20 yards backward at one point and throws a fadeaway touchdown pass. What is that? LA defense, you are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, you can't argue with any of those. I'm going to start with Brahim Diaz. Morocco was in the AFCON final against Senegal, and there's a play in the box where Brahim Diaz seems to have taken a dive. Now, he's going down to the ground. there may have been contact around his neck, might have spun the shoulder a little bit. Doesn't look like much, but down you go. It's the championship final. It's a championship game. You're trying to milk it. It's a home crowd. You're trying to get some home cooking. Begging, pleading for VAR. Begging. Goes to VAR after on the field, no, play on. Keep going. Overturned to a penalty on VAR. Senegal says, fuck this, and walks off. Now, you have 15 minutes. If you're not there in 15 minutes, if you walk off and do not return within 15 minutes, it's an automatic forfeit. So, you have players like Sadio Mane, Idrissa Gana Gueye. You have players trying to get them back onto the pitch. Finally, in 12 minutes, after 12 minutes of delays, 12 minutes of protests, 12 minutes of arguing, finally back on the pitch. And just constant bitching from Brahim Diaz. Penalty comes. All right, cool. We got this. The weakest, soft-ass Palenka kick right into Mendy's hands. You couldn't have just walked it over and put it into his hands any gentler. Senegal wins. Senegal wins. And all of this bullshit for nothing. Brahim Diaz, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Brahim. Number two, Drake May. Drake May. My God, man. Are we kidding here? Three touchdowns. Okay. 179. Okay. A pick. Four fumbles. Two fumbles lost. Son, you got an issue holding on the football here. Gotta get some gloves or something, because that ain't gonna cut it against the Broncos defense. Maybe it did against the Texans, right? But yeah, not a good showing whatsoever. The Patriots won in spite of you. Drake May, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the New York Rangers. D already referenced it. The letter written by Chris Drury to the fans that said, yeah, we're going to tear this fucking thing down. You know those players you like? Well, don't get used to seeing them. Vincent Trocheck, we're looking to move you. Panarin, we're not going to re-sign you. Zibanejad, maybe we can find somebody to take you this year. Because we couldn't do it last year. This is all too familiar if you're a Ranger fan. Remember when Jeff Gordon did this a few years ago? Oh yeah, you should. Because it's the same goddamn MO. It's the same goddamn move. Draft a letter to the fans saying, we're going to try again next year. We're going to it's not a rebuild. It's a retool. No, it's not a retool.
You're a retool.
Retooling, I'll retool you. New York Rangers, stop trying to bullshit us. We know what it is. Just get better. Yet the people are in place. A lot of these players, just two seasons ago, took the Panthers to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final. They were there, right? It happened. Right? Yes, I know Igor Shesterkin is hurt, but is that the reason why you're allowing 10 goals, 6 goals, 8 goals? Fuck out of here. did you put cones on the ice? Are there cones in sweaters? Is that what's happening right now? New York Rangers, get your shit together. 100th year, 100th anniversary. This is what you put out. You should be embarrassed. You should be ashamed of yourself. New York Rangers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRoute Podcast. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoute Podcast. Drop us a line on FadeRouteDNZ on X and vote and for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with D&Z. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.